Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn, which is a podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm J-Clone 88.
Oh, come on. You should have sing along.
No, I just thought.
Match the energy. I've been sick, everybody, for like 5 weeks now. I'm finally feeling a little bit better.
Good. About time.
I took a lot of drugs.
Well, maybe you just need some good fresh horseradish.
Gosh.
Just a gnaw on.
I don't think I can eat horseradish.
Just chew it.
Just chew it, yeah. No, I need Peyton's, that fire stuff.
Huh?
That Homestead brew. She made some for the ice fishing trip, which is in a couple weeks, which has already happened by the time you hear this.
Oh, okay. No wonder why.
But no, it's like, it's a remedy. I think it's called fire brew.
Oh, okay.
It's like a Homestead remedy. You make it in a mason jar.
Good.
But she made it without onions.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to have tried it already.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Because she made it without onions for the trip.
Good.
It's supposed to have onions in it, though.
Yeah.
Any front of house stuff? Let me think. Real fast. If you have Hometown Legends stuff, I need it. The date is coming soon that I need it. You guys have emailed me a lot of stuff, which is great. Keep emailing me. CryptidsOfTheCornPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending it. I need a bunch of it. But yeah. Let's see. What else? What else? I think that's pretty much it. We have live shows coming up.
Yes, live shows.
April 5th, Arkansas. North Little Rock with Drunken Cryptids. Get your tickets. They're selling fast. Get them below at the link. And then in June, we have a live show with
author Michael Thompson, UFOs and Sea Monsters.
In Ada, Ohio. So tickets
our hometown.
For that. Yeah, tickets for that are for sale below as well. Check them out. Get tickets before they sell out. They're both going to be amazing live shows. If you don't know what a live show is, we pretty much each do like an hour and a half long podcast, and then we hang out with you guys. We have some fun, have a couple beers. It's going to be a fun time.
It's a great time. And any information that we have put out is regarding that or the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, too, check it out at cryptidsofthecorn.com.
Oh, thank you. And the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree Part 2, we've already announced a couple speakers. We're announcing more. By the time this comes out, a couple more have already been announced. Where you can get your hotel, where you can get tickets, all that stuff, cryptosacorn.com under the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree tab. Tickets go on sale. I think the working date right now is March 15th.
Okay.
I think that's the public working date. Subject to change, everybody at home. But that's kind of what I'm working with right now to have everything kind of nailed down by is March 15th.
Gotcha.
February is very busy for the Great and Powerful Mystery. All right. So this episode is What is Bigfoot? Part 2. Remember we did What is Bigfoot like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. Oh, shoot. Maybe even, well, no, you're probably right. 2 years ago. I was thinking 2 seasons ago.
Oh, it probably was 2 seasons ago, which is a year ago.
Now I'm thinking even more. It's probably like 4 seasons ago now.
What are we in? Season 6?
6. We're almost done.
No, so, yeah, we're almost done. No, it's probably season, right? No, it's probably season 4. You're probably right. It was probably 2 seasons ago.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Either way, it's in the past. We discussed it.
The manatee thing was, well, I was still saying, I started saying the manatee thing.
Right, true.
I gotta take a drink of coffee.
Bigfoot is a manatee, at least, to start off your theories.
Yeah, so this one is not, I did no work for this episode. Like I said, I've been sick, I've been run down, I've been really tired. I wanted an episode where I really had to do very little footwork to get an episode rolling. So I posted on the socials, I asked you guys, what do you think Bigfoot is? No wrong answers. I told you it was for an episode. But yeah.
So here we are.
We're going to read
the comments from our listeners on our pages, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and we're just going to talk about them. Some of them are one word or two word answers. Some of them will go into pretty in depth of their thoughts. So
that's right. Because I'm doing the Instagram ones and you're doing the Facebook ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right.
There's a lot more on Facebook, but a lot of them are like one or two words.
And there's a lot on Instagram that are like big long paragraphs and ones that are just literally an emoji.
Yeah. Which I get.
But they all speak.
You answer it.
Yep. They all have a thought.
So Angela says interdimensional beings. Smarter than us. What's your thoughts on that, Jensen?
Smarter than us?
Interdimensional beings smarter than us.
I believe, yeah, I mean, I do think Bigfoot's an interdimensional thing. After we've done this for so long, I did not fully, you know, understand that or, I guess, believe it.
No, I mean, I seen one and didn't think that for years.
Right, yeah. And, I think they are interdimensional. Maybe if not them, all of them, at least some of them, or whatever the phenomena of them is something that can go in between worlds, that can be here and be somewhere else immediately. Because we've seen people that have seen it happen.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, that's, you know, perfectly what you just said. That's not my experience. Doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
The one, you know, I didn't have any of that side of it.
Right.
But like you said, we've had so many people on the show. We've talked to so many people. I fully believe it adds a lot more to that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I think we've talked about before, but what do you think about them being able to learn to be interdimensional? Like, have you ever thought about that?
Like, it was a learned trait.
Like, maybe not every Bigfoot can do the interdimensional side of it. Let's say they are maybe closer to flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And some of them have the ability to either are born with the ability to do it. Not all of them, and then are they learned? I've heard several people that have had lifelong experience with Sasquatch say that. They claim they've talked to Sasquatch.
Well, I mean, there's people that have claimed, too, that they can do some of these things.
Sure.
And, like, with the MK Ultra experiments. And you ever seen that movie, The Man Who Stared at Goats?
I love it.
Remember the part where he's trying to walk through the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, supposedly, you know, they had people that could do that, that figured that out.
Sure.
And
scientifically speaking, there is more space between the atoms than there's not. So there's parts of physics that tell you should be able to put your hand to the table. And there's something stopping you. And I think it's that, we did it a couple weeks ago, the controlled reality.
Yeah.
I guess more than a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Where we now know reality reacts around us directly. That we are probably imposing the rules onto space around us, and space is just putting up that face for us.
Right.
So, like, double slit experiment, like, pretends like the thing's not even there. So the particles, these light particles, are going through, you know, basically solid objects when nobody's paying attention.
Right, exactly.
So maybe you can. Maybe you can convince yourself fundamentally that the laws of physics, that in my head, are this now. Maybe you can do it. Maybe you can walk through a wall.
Yeah. You ever seen the movie Mystery Men?
No.
With Ben Stiller and...
You're lucky I've seen the old men that stare at goats.
Oh, okay. I guess you're right. Well, it's like a band of let's just say outcast people, superheroes. They all have a special superpower, but they're outcasts. Like, everything's a little off.
Okay.
So they're not that good. So they kind of band up together. And one of them is the Invisible Boy, and he's played by, Keenan and Kel. Kel, by that guy. So he's the Invisible Boy. He can turn invisible, but the only way he can turn invisible is if nobody is watching. So that's his...
I have seen clips from this.
So that's his special power.
But if you look at him, he turns visible again?
Well, everyone just thinks he can't turn invisible. He just claims he can. Because the only time he can do it is when nobody's watching. So it's, you know, it's kind of funny, like, to think about it. But there's a scene in the movie where there's like a movement censored, you know, lasers, like camera, that'll just destroy you if it senses movement. So they have no way to get across this room, but he thinks he can do it. As long as nobody watches him, he'll turn invisible and cross the room and turn off, deactivate it. And it turns out he does. He turns it off. So he really can turn invisible if nobody's watching.
If nobody's watching.
But I just kind of think there's something there to that. Now, that's funny, but it's kind of like that in some ways or another. Like, if your mind creates the reality and you're the only one, it's mind that is observing it, then why isn't, then maybe that is possible. You know, if nobody else believes, it could thwart your ability, I guess. So a lot of it's, I don't know, that's, when I start thinking things like that, then you start thinking about, like, not faith, well, like, I guess, like, faith and stuff like that. It's all just belief. A lot of things in life just boil down to belief, and that's it.
I'm going to read a couple more, because they're small.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll hop over to you for Instagram. Matthew Wharton from the Drunken Cryptids podcast. He says, my theory changes almost hourly. And I think I was personally like that for a long time. And I think when I started, and I say that still, I don't know what Bigfoot is. You know, you ask me any given day, I'll probably give you a different answer. But I think it's more now the umbrella term for is Bigfoot. And we've talked about that a lot, that there's probably several things in the phenomena that are being classified as Bigfoot.
I agree.
So I think that's more that...
Even being, classified as Bigfoot or even misidentified as Bigfoot.
Yeah. You just say you've seen a Bigfoot, but you did see something.
Mm-hmm.
But what is Bigfoot? You know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is more where I've gone from the changing hourly to being like, well, you've seen this kind of thing, it's a Bigfoot.
Right.
Or you've seen an elemental, you've seen a fae, you know, it happens, or a big hairy hominid. I don't know. Next one is from Ra Ali. Now, I think I'm pronouncing your name right. He's always in with our Cribs and Coffee. He's super nice. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. Just says aliens.
Alien.
He used to see them next to his property in Northwest Georgia. But he just says, you know, alien. And, you know, we talk about alien, but...
I thought of Giorgio immediately when you said that.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Would it be?
Ancient astronauts theorists say yes!
Just Giorgio.
It's Giorgio's Bigfoot.
Man.
He's no, okay, let's not get too goofy right out the rip.
I'm just gonna say,
gotta make Giorgio lore.
Making Giorgio lore.
He can transform into the Bigfoot at will. That's how he escapes these conferences so fast. He turns into Bigfoot and runs off in the woods. No one sees him.
Oh my gosh.
So
we
dumb.
Still got so many
We're
of these
so
to
dumb.
Do. No, alien. A lot of people say that. First thing pops to mind is the invasion of Chestnut Ridge.
Yep.
A lot of that stuff. And P.S., I guess this is a good place to announce it, because it should be the week this comes out is when we announce the next speaker, which is Ron Murphy.
Yep. Okay. I didn't know if you wanted me to announce it right away.
Yeah.
Ron Murphy. Murphy.
Murphy.
Murphy.
Super nice, amazing guy. Yes. Family man, author, researcher, explorer, extraordinaire. Been a friend for a couple years now. He's just a genuinely good guy.
Absolutely.
But he's probably, in my opinion, the leading expert on the invasion of the Chestnut Ridge. Several books. I have several books that he's written by it, about it, and stuff like that. And that's kind of a lot of the alien Bigfoot stuff in the U.S. stems from this, the invasion of
the Chestnut Ridge. Because it's one of the first well-documented accounts where both...
Well-documented.
Where both are occurring.
Constantly.
Yes.
Constantly seen together. And the Bigfoot, they were very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Thin, red-eyed, almost, depending on which who's describing, almost skeletal.
Mm.
And I heard a couple more than a couple times, you know, even said borderline demonic.
Gosh.
With the big red eyes. And
yeah.
They were much more like thin, stretched-out Bigfoot than like your Harry and the Hendersons or your Patty.
You think more like a tall, gray alien with fur?
Not directly. Okay. I just think that when we get into this stuff, we're talking about the umbrella term.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, when you really look at some of these Bigfoot, they're very different when you're really, really looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, this, you know, the Bigfoot at Chestnut Ridge, for the most part, were gaunt. They were thin, skeletal, big red eyes, glowing red eyes.
Yeah.
And very scary to be around, all moving in groups. And you look at Bigfoot in, you know, Pacific Northwest, or you look at Patty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patty was chunky, you know, had big mammillary glands, it moved like an ape, you know, was just wanted to get away, as far as we know, from mm-hmm. the video.
Metatarsal break.
You can
see it.
So when you say aliens, that's kind of what, you know, the image of Chestnut Ridge Bigfoots come to mind. Well, we did Bigfoot and UFOs before, where we talked about Bigfoot being chased by UFOs, Bigfoot driving UFOs.
Yeah, I'll say piloting.
Chewbacca, you know, that's, which is Chewbacca, is that from these stories?
I would think he's a rip. I think they know something.
I think rancors are real.
I think a lot of that stuff is. What are the big white, is that, that's not a rancor. Rancor's the thing they cut open and he went inside, right?
No.
What's that?
No, rancors are, Jabba the Hutt had one in his palace in the basement.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah, those things. Yeah.
They're actually really nice, calm, like loving animals. But in gladiator pits and stuff like that, they're tortured.
Well, yeah, I love that we're discussing Star Wars lore.
No, so there's actually an Earth cryptid that looks like a rancor from like 2,000 years ago.
Oh, so you're saying when you say rancors are real.
I mean that there is a creature that looks like a rancor.
Yeah.
There's a book I used to read, or a book series, Menagerie,
uh-huh.
which is kind of like the zoo that went and caught all these cryptids and had them in cages. And... saving them for, like, some of these were being bred to put back in the wild. Some of them were because the locals were going to murder them.
Mm.
Some were just too dangerous to be left, like, natural disaster level animals.
Okay.
And one of them was, like, I cannot remember the name of this creature. It was a big rancor-like creature.
Okay.
And literally, the cover of the book has it. It looks just like a white rancor.
Yeah.
But the creature's from the Middle East from, like, 1,200 years ago or something like that.
Imagine,
but it looks just like a rancor.
Imagine running into that. What, they just find the bones or fossils or something?
What? No, they had one in the zoo.
Oh, gotcha. The book. You're talking about the book. Sorry.
But they're all real cryptids.
Yes.
As far as, you know, folklore and stuff like
that. Yes, that's what I meant. They find the fossils of one and
eco-terrorist group opened all the cages.
Oh, nice.
And that's the book.
Okay.
Not great.
No,
not great.
No, because we know
like
what happens.
Some of these guys are natural disaster level
events,
things,
yeah,
and they're all on a big zoo together,
so
they do not get along.
So it'd be like the, what was that in Zanesville, Ohio, when the
massacre,
when they let all the animals out? It'd be like that, but with extremely dangerous
hurricanes and sandstorms, and worms from Tremors.
Gosh,
but no, aliens. I don't know. I think there is a part of that is this, the Bigfoot phenomenon is this quote unquote whatever aliens are,
right? And what are aliens? That's the thing. Yeah. Are they from outer space, different planets, or are they just interdimensional beings? Yes.
Already 17 minutes in, and we've gone.
Demons. Demons, yes. Aliens are demons. Don't trust an alien ever.
Don't ever trust an alien.
I don't care how it presents itself, good or neutral. Don't trust them.
When you start talking about Jesus and they start backing away, or, it was the one gray encounter. Because we've had several people on that we know personally from the show
mm-hmm.
that have had that experience with grays.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they start talking about Jesus or praying and they absolutely lose their mind.
Yeah.
What was the one? There was a famous, we talked about it. Where they were talking about Jesus, and the Greys were like, religion's dumb, blah, blah, blah. And then finally they're like, no, Jesus is one of us.
Right, yeah.
Because
trying to remember which incident that was.
I want to...
So one of our listeners will be able to tell us.
Yeah.
Just let us know in the comments
so we can recall it. I've listened to so many alien abductions, and that's one of the famous ones, but...
Yeah.
You want me to do one more?
Sure.
Next one's from Daphne, longtime listener.
Hey, Daphne.
I think Bigfoot is an animal, a species which is related to humans that's managed to survive, being able to adapt and survive in rough climates and keep to themselves. I have never had an encounter, but my husband took me to the Harrison Hot Springs in British Columbia. I could feel the presence there in the woods. Looking at the vast wilderness, the huge trees in the mountains, if Bigfoot was hiding somewhere, it would be there. And I think a lot of people feel that same way, Daphne, which is that there are several species that have managed to eke out a living, even with the industrialization of humans,
mm-hmm.
that have been able to live on the edge. And for this credit, for the flesh and blood, this kind of credit, super smart animals, when we did Times Bigfoot's Been Killed, which I think is a two-parter that we did, it was pretty much from the 1600s to the 1800s, tons and tons of Bigfoots got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of them were killed. Tons of them ended up in basements. Tons of, you know, were injured. Tons, mostly babies, too. Remember we talked about that? It was a lot of, like, 4 foot to 6 foot.
What was that one, the famous one? But not, it's not.
The ape kid?
Yeah. I was going to say Bobo, but it's.
No, there were several, because remember we talked about that. It was like three different things shoved into one thing.
That's true, yeah. That's right.
Because there's the train.
Yeah, because the one, didn't P.T. Barnum have one on the train?
No, he was.
Am I mixing stories?
He was going to pay for one.
That's what it was.
But it was okay. From out west, and they shot it, so it was rotting. Mm. They couldn't keep it cold. Yeah. They threw it out the train because it was a big rotting ape.
Well, we're just wonderful people.
No, so for that, I mean, we talk about this with rattlesnakes, right? So when the settlers came in, they did the same thing to the Native Americans. They pushed them to the brink. But no, when they came in, they were killing all these Bigfoot. They were at least every encounter with the settlers was horrible for the Bigfoot. So the ones that are left have learned absolutely stay away from humans.
Yeah.
So rattlesnakes in Texas no longer rattle because of the horrible practice of rattlesnake roundups,
mm-hmm.
where they just kill rattlesnakes to kill rattlesnakes. It's horrible. In my opinion, that is an opinion, I guess. But murdering animals just because they're trying to live out in the desert, you know, because if you pick them up, they bite you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right. But now all the rattlesnakes, they've selectively bred the population on no longer to rattle, because how they find them is they take a metal stick and they hit rocks and listen for the rattles.
Right, yep.
But now all the ones that are left are no longer rattling. So
right,
humans.
Because when they rattled, they would grab them and murder. Cut their heads off.
Yeah. So now there's a whole population that don't. And
don't
I think,
rattle.
Yeah. And now they're biting kids more. Because they're not rattling.
Yeah.
They gave you a nice warning.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that enough?
Yeah. Every rattlesnake I've been around in Arkansas rattled. And guess what I did? Walked
mm-hmm.
around it.
Mm-hmm.
I had zero problems.
Yeah.
Me and the rattlesnakes never had an issue.
Right. Yep.
They rattle. I mean, it's just.
Very simple.
Yeah.
You got to listen to nature, not just destroy it.
So for this, for Daphne's idea and stuff like that, I could really see, you know, this flesh and blood side of it where they had very negative experiences for 200 years.
Yeah.
And the ones that are left just don't experience us. You know, they do everything in their power. And that's why, if you look at Bigfoot sightings in the U.S., what are they mostly? You remember?
What do you mean?
Where do most people see Bigfoot? Not state, but, like, what location?
Pacific Northwest, woods, I mean.
The road.
Oh, yeah, the roadside, duh. Cars driving by.
Yeah.
The casual sighting.
It's almost always the roads, and it's either right after or right before.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's, you know, so it's they're not wanting to be seen. They're trying to cross a road. And a car's coming around 75 miles an hour.
Yeah. Catch them off guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing, too, the biggest, like, alligators and crocodiles, you know, how do they get so big?
Not being dumb.
Exactly. The smartest ones are the biggest ones. Or I guess the biggest ones are the smartest ones.
Right. I mean, Gustav is your example. Yeah, I know, the man-eating croc, one of the biggest crocodiles in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's had several major big game hunters go for him hundreds of times. And he's never been killed.
Yeah.
Because he knows a difference between a normal person and a guy with a gun. Like, he knows, and people talk about Bigfoot knows what guns are.
Absolutely,
yeah, because they got shot for 200 years.
Absolutely, they do. Now, why do they know that? Yeah, is it because of that? Because they got shot for 200 years, or is it because they just know, like, they're smart,
oh,
intelligent?
Sure. It could be either way.
We don't know.
I mean,
either way, they know it's not good.
Yeah.
Either way, they do know.
Yeah. Do you want to do one?
Sure, yeah, because I'll do some that kind of, I guess, are similar to those.
You don't have to. We can mix it all up. I have 42 on Facebook.
Right. Well, David Hardy from Hardyware.
Oh, yeah, Hardyware. Check him out. Hey, amazing t-shirts. He's going to be at the, I'm 99% sure he's going to be at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. And he's going to, I know 100% sure, he'll be at Frogman Fest
mm-hmm.
coming up. And he's working on a custom Frogman t-shirt for the festival.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've seen the art for it. I've seen the previews.
Hardyware. Check it out. It's awesome.
He's done work for us. David's a really close friend
mm-hmm.
and does amazing cryptid shirts. His kids, his family, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's a good man.
He said, elemental slash fae from the unseen realm that is able to walk between the worlds.
100% agree.
Which is very similar to what that our first comment you talked about today said.
Who said that?
I'm trying to remember the name.
Angela.
Angela.
Well, I talk to Angela on Facebook all the time.
Okay. Yeah, very similar to that. And I agree with him. Yes.
I think a big part of Bigfoot is that.
I think too, with speaking of how Bigfoot Jamboree on Randy's property, I think this is kind of what the type he's dealing with, whatever it is. I think this is it.
I think there is a lot of the elemental. So anybody didn't know, I personally, and I don't know where Jay falls on this, I separate elementals and fae.
Okay.
Personally, I do. I think elementals are much more, now they're both connected to nature, or both have, you know, this kind of interdimensional side to them.
But they're different, but they're under the same umbrella?
Yeah, I would say they're both probably from whatever the fae realm is.
Turtles and tortoises?
Maybe. No, they're probably both from the fae realm. Bigfoot seems much more tied, if it's the elemental type of Bigfoot, to its environment, to its area. It seems much more... the elemental Bigfoot seems much more protective, almost your Smokey the Bear type.
Mm-hmm.
The fae are much more tricks oriented. They're still tied to nature. They're still tied to their environment, but much more trickster, playful, can be very rough, can be very violent. And I think the elemental side of it is much more mute. I think elemental Bigfoots are much more like your old forest guardian, your old, you know, you see the Bigfoot that melt into the tree and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. I don't think they do as much trickster stuff, I guess is the big guess, the big difference.
I wonder if those, if all, like elementals and fae and things, maybe just elementals, maybe, I don't know. If they're just, they're solely here from the earth as like, almost like we talked about before, like white blood cells.
Immune system.
Like an immune system.
I think elementals,
yeah,
are a manifestation of what? Yeah, an immune system mm-hmm. of nature. And it could even be the mushroom oriented, like we've talked about before. That it's actually them manifesting as, you know, into the third dimension
mm-hmm.
from the second dimension. That they really can't. Maybe you know they're functioning. It's just, you know, it's all speculation. But yeah. I really think that there is something to that with elementals. I think they are less self-motivated than fae, I guess would be my okay. big thing. I think fae have a big identity of self, and I think elementals don't. And I think, like you said, the immune system side of it, I think, is the best way to talk about that. I think fae are just like people. There's good ones, there's bad ones, there's indifferent ones.
Yeah.
You can get the gambit, you can get grumpy ones, you can get friendly ones. Like,
right.
And I think elementals aren't.
Right.
I think they're much more,
I would say, like mute or reactionary, basically.
Yeah, I think they can be highly reactionary. I think you can get a violent elemental.
For sure.
But I don't think they're doing it. I don't, like, when we talk about wind elementals and that kind of stuff, they're, when they create storms or they, you know, do all that stuff, they are just doing it because they do it, not because they're evil or good. Yeah. It's just a part of nature. It's a mm-hmm. system that needs to happen.
I almost think like action and reaction. It's just to create balance and order.
Yeah, I think, like, that's a good way to put it.
You need that stuff. You can't have good without the bad, and you can't have light without the dark. And
yeah, it's like a shark eating.
You can't have happy without the sad.
Like a shark eating a seal.
Like a shark eating a seal.
Well, they're not doing it because they're evil machines. They're doing it because they need to eat.
Yes.
And that's what they're programmed to do.
I just like that. It's like a shark eating a seal.
I mean, it is. But people villainize sharks
because
of the predator.
Because they're eating seals. Here's another one.
You don't have as many as I do.
No, I don't.
So do you want me to do another one?
Well, I have a couple here that are almost, they're very, very similar.
All right, go ahead.
So I thought I'd maybe read a few of those. But here's Conjure Dust.
Oh.
Danner. Yep.
And they're going to be at Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Oh, look at this. All of the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
I mean, Danner, Conjure Dust Designs, all kinds of cool stickers and all kinds of stuff. I knew they have some, I think they have coloring books, kids books. They have really cool art.
Mm-hmm.
I have many, many of their stickers on the bus.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
They're good friends. They're good people.
Yes. He said, I think it's some sort of undiscovered species, not necessarily the missing link, quote unquote, that everyone says, but something that evolved alongside us. And same thing. So, which we'll discuss this in a second. I also want to read Prepared Wolf's comment. He said, personally, I believe it's a creature that is an offshoot of humans that never fully evolved beyond a certain point. I don't believe there's only one, but small groups or tribes.
So those are very different.
So like, well, yes. Like one saying it's offshoot, one saying it's something that's evolved alongside us.
So this is both flesh and blood.
And I think people confuse those two together
yes,
a lot.
Yes, yes. So offshoot human. Who said that? I'm sorry.
So offshoot human was the prepared wolf.
Prepared wolf. Offshoot human. I don't know which is right and which is wrong. But offshoot human would mean ancient hominid. Or, you know, maybe even a homo. Like as in Homo sapiens, Homo forensis. Oh, okay,
yes.
Like one of the branches off the Homo genus.
Yes. Not one in the woods.
Okay. Which... He is a Patreon member. He's super nice.
That's, I forgot, yes.
Yeah, the homo in the woods yes. from the Flannel Man episode. He is a Patreon member.
That's awesome. That was so funny.
Oh my gosh. Bad. That's a long time ago. What is that, season two?
Maybe.
Flannel Man season two? I don't know. No, so offshoot of like an early homo. So whether it's, you know, whatever kind of, you know, human or it could be or could even be before that step off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stepped off early and started, you know, basically evolving or adapting to nature, being that version of the human, you know, going back to nature, being this big bulky beast, much more like Neanderthals were incredibly intelligent. So people get that mistake too, between primitive and intelligence. Primitive or basal means closer to the branch off of a species.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean they are intelligent or simple whatsoever.
At all.
I mean, it doesn't mean they're not intelligent or simple.
Right.
They can be very complex, intelligent organisms. They divided to a new species much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's a big confusing part for a lot of people too.
Where did we learn that though? That they were just dumb or stupid?
Neanderthals?
Yeah.
I feel
like they taught us that in school.
Yeah. And it was because of old understandings of like broken brain cases and stuff like that. They were much bigger than us and they had either at that time, much smaller brains. Because they had bigger eyes, so they thought the skull didn't have enough room to have a big brain. We now know they had comparable brain to body mass as we did.
Yeah.
Now though they had high speed drills. We now know they didn't go extinct.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only other Homo like in the Homo genus did not go extinct. They were bred into Homo sapiens, us.
Right. Right.
Almost everybody alive today has some fraction of Neanderthal DNA.
Right. They were almost bred to extinction.
Yeah. I mean that'd be closer. Technically, they're still here. We are them.
Right.
But no, that came from that idea. Neanderthals, like troglodytes. You ever heard somebody like, that's an older, like, I guess, derogatory thing to call somebody a troglodyte.
Okay.
It means cave organism. That's all it means. Because Neanderthals lived in caves.
Mm.
So that's another thing is they weren't smart enough to build shelter. No, you use stuff. Why would I build a shelter? There's massive, nice, thermal regulated cave.
Yeah.
That's fresh water in it.
Hmm. But then yeah. You can't.
It came from old understandings.
Absolutely.
And old, you know, it just came from that kind of stuff.
It's like almost we were indoctrinated to think that way.
And I don't know if it was that or if it just was very limited understandings. Like same thing with dinosaurs and prehistoric mammals and stuff like that. You know, when you find giant chunks of something, you don't get a whole picture.
Well, no.
And your own prejudices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They shape the narrative around it to suit the. Industrial working
like, Megalosaurus is like the famous one for dinosaurs, which is the big, they have the iguana with the spike on its nose and stuff like that. And Iguanodon, Megalosaurus, they made it into a giant iguana. It was like a little theropod. So it was like a little T-Rex.
Hmm.
It looked just like, well, not just like a little T-Rex, but you know, that kind of that basic body plan.
Right.
Had some feather quills and stuff like that. Well, they were very common because we have a lot of them.
Okay.
So when you look at T-Rex being an apex, they weren't very common.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a ton of them. But, you know, this is like a medium-level predator, like foxes, even though they're huge. But think of, like, foxes versus wolves. There's a lot more foxes than wolves.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot where we were going with this. Oh, Neanderthals.
Yes.
So the step-off hominid. So it'd be something like a Neanderthal, a separate group of humanity that was developed specifically for living in the wild. That's the one thought.
Mm-hmm.
The other thought is a primate of some kind. Or even before that, depending on where you go with the branch off, which is still, quote unquote, our same family branch, but a much more basal species. And for me, for the flesh and blood, that's where I would lean towards more. That they're not a human. They're not a homo. They're not a human. They are not even close to that branch. They're probably a primate, and that they stepped off much earlier. And then, you know, because if they have the loose perkinum, the eye shine.
Yeah.
That's, no great ape has that. Like, that's a much, very, very basal, quote unquote, primates have that. Lemurs, you know, some other stuff. And other things they had, like the metatarsal break, like their foot, like we do a whole thing on about the foot and like live shows and stuff like that. It's very not human once you really start looking at it, you know, because just because they have five toes, most animals have five toes.
Why, isn't that a primate thing?
What?
Five toes?
No.
Oh, okay.
Most mammals have five toes.
Oh, okay.
Even salamanders have five toes on their back legs.
That's true.
So it's just, you know, just because they have five toes. I mean, how many times do we talk about bears, you know, being mistaken for Bigfoot tracks? Because when they double step, what do they look like? They look right. like a big person track.
Mm-hmm.
There's several other animals that even look like people. You know, a famous one people do not realize is crocodilians.
Crocodilians?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Their foot, their front hand looks like a human's hand, and their back foot, if it slides, like when they walk, looks like a human foot.
Oh, gotcha.
It's okay. Super weird.
Hmm.
I've seen it happen. Like there's that famous hand indent that is, I, my opinion, it's a fossil, but it's 100% a crocodile. It does look like a person's hand,
mm-hmm.
but I've watched crocodiles make the same thing.
And gotcha. Oh, okay.
Like it looks, they do look like people. Like they look like a person crawled out on their belly sometimes. But yeah, so I think both can be accurate. Personally, I'm going to lean towards much more of the basal ancient primate. But I don't know. No, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Just all speculation.
Gosh, it's going to be a long episode. Next one I have is from Peyton. With so many different encounters, I think Bigfoot are flesh and blood. I also believe that other things pretend to be human, and they also pretend to be Bigfoot too.
Yep.
So I think that's, that. I 100% agree with Peyton.
And I think that's more leaning into that fae or elemental side.
That's, I think, more fae.
Yeah.
I think elementals just kind of look like that.
Okay.
I think fae are the ones that'll put on the mask.
The masquerading.
Yeah, because they that's the weird ones. And I think aliens do it too, whatever quote-unquote aliens are. But where they pretend to look like, and that's where you start getting the weird stuff with Bigfoot.
Mm.
The walking off cliffs like a cartoon. Tom Shea talked about that. Famous Bigfooter out of Kentucky. If you haven't heard him talk, maybe that'd be a Jamboree guy for 2026.
It might be.
Super. I love hearing him talk because he's just a good old boy. He's very plain with how he tells you about any of your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he does his presentation. Just ask me questions. I have 10 minutes of slides. Here's a bunch of pictures to pass around the room. Ask me about whatever.
Right, exactly.
Which I enjoy. That's kind of how we do our shows. I enjoy much more of the audience interaction.
Well, yeah, it's nice getting people's thoughts and opinions and questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're doing now.
Yeah, so, and that's, I love this so far. It's been great. But, you know, I think there's a lot of this. I think it's the fae, the aliens. Because they look weird. They look different.
Yeah.
This is when you get the strange Bigfoot encounters. The red eyes, the floating, the disappear and the hide behind lake style stuff with the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's an impossibly big creature hiding behind this nothing of a tree.
Tiny little tree, yeah.
And that's what really freaks people out. And when you really start looking at, like, there's scary Bigfoot encounters with the bluff charges and the throwing stuff. But when they're, like, doing this paranormal stuff, it's horrible. It's horrifying. Because if to a normal person, your brain's not set up for that.
No.
They see a 800-pound monkey.
Say not
go behind a tree that's 2 inches wide
and disappear. Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Next one, Robert. My theory is that they are flesh and blood, and their genes are closer to ours than any other ape figures. I believe they can reason, and humans are the only animal that can reason. So my theory is it makes them more human than others. Which Robert may not know, but there are plenty of animals that can reason. There are plenty of animals that do long-term planning and cost analysis kind of stuff in their head.
And most predators do that?
A lot of predators carnivores, do that. A lot of apex carnivores will do that. A lot of predators will do that.
Okay.
I mean, even whales will do it. I mean, whales, when their migration routes, Blue Planet 2 just had a whole thing about gray whales' migrations and how dangerous it is and how they meticulously have to plan when to go and when to stop.
Huh.
And when they know threats are ahead and they tell their babies to be quiet because it orcas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's only one in three calves make it.
Oh, man.
It's mostly orcas. Orcas, yeah. And boat strikes.
Dang.
But no, yeah. I mean, it's just the same thing with one of the Instagram people had just said a minute ago that, you know, a human. It's, you know, much more closer to a human, which we don't know.
No, we don't know.
I'll read a couple because we've gone over a bunch of these already. I'll do an ad break real fast. So you talk.
And I'm here interviewing the great Bigfoot. And today, Bigfoot has prepared me a meal. Bigfoot, what did you make for us today? Ooh, fried porcupine on a stick, eh? Oh, grilled, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, is that? Ooh, this tastes absolutely delicious, Bigfoot. How did you create such an amazing dish? Oh, it's all in the seasoning, you said. Oh, so what's your secret ingredient? Oh, this right here, flavors of the forest, Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust. Oh, this is raw, straight, freeze-dried garlic? No filler? Wow, this tastes amazing. Oh, you've got, wait, I'll try that too. What's that you got? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'd never had deer heart, but let's give it a go. Oh, it's a little spicier. What's in this? Spicy raw garlic dust? Wow, also from Flavors of the Forest. Well, where can I find this? Oh, in the links below. So if you're looking to season up your meal today, go to the links below. Reach out to Flavors of the Forest at flavorsforest.com and get you a bottle of raw garlic dust or spicy raw garlic dust, also known as Bigfoot breath. Talk to you later.
And we're back. All right. Ready for some more?
Oh, yeah.
Brandon says, and this Brandon, our friend from Oklahoma, says, my dad, that's what Bigfoot is.
Oh, that's it. Okay. I didn't say, Mike, my dad said, saw something. Nope, just my dad.
My dad.
His dad's Bigfoot.
Oh, there we go.
What not?
Isn't that a movie?
I was going to say, I think I've heard this theory multiple times. So, I mean, he might be onto something.
Carrie says, I think Bigfoot is an animal-type creature that has been on the Earth since the beginning. I don't think they are harmful unless provoked. I agree with both sentiments.
Yeah, I agree too.
I really don't think, for most part, I don't think Bigfoot's really going to mess with you unless you mess with them, besides, like, dangerously.
Yeah.
I think there are some, like, with the more flesh and blood types that pull pranks or throw the little rocks or...
Or the one, like, asterisk next to that would be the missing 411.
Well, we don't know if that's Bigfoot.
We don't know. That's why it's an asterisk.
I think it's more fae, personally.
Could be.
I think that's why nobody can find out, like, why they disappear and stuff like that. I really think it's fae realms. I mean, they've talked about fae abducting people forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but we just don't know for sure. I mean,
I think...
And if Bigfoot are fae, I mean, there you go.
I think a Bigfoot in Alaska is a much different thing, though, too.
Yeah?
Especially flesh and blood, because calories are highly, highly...
Scarce.
I just seen a thing of it. You know, polar bears are a lot bigger than grizzlies.
Okay.
But when they fight over whale carcasses, it's almost always the grizzly that wins.
Really?
And it's because the polar bear doesn't have any experience
of fighting
other land carnivores.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They almost exclusively hunt marine mammals.
Right.
And it really scares them. They only really mess with each other. Mm-hmm. And grizzly bears are much more adept at fighting other themselves.
Big, yeah.
But wolves and wolverines and much more adapt to other land carnivores.
Trying to go after them, yeah.
It's almost only whale carcasses that they run into each other.
I just saw a video, a little random right here, but of a polar bear. This boat rescued it. Do you see this?
It's a way out in the ocean?
Yeah, and it was getting...
A polar bear?
A polar bear was out in the ocean, and it was getting attacked by sharks. Like, these sharks were... There was, like, 10 sharks around it, like, biting at it, and it was trying to fight them off.
A polar bear?
A polar bear. And this boat comes up alongside it.
This is an AI video.
No, this is real. I mean, it's very real. It looked very real. And like, it was bobbing up and down, and there was these sharks all around it. And the boat gets up, and they basically, I don't know if they tied a rope around it and pulled it onto their boat, but it was, like, so exhausted, it wasn't even moving. Like, it was laying on its stomach, just, like, pure exhaustion. It was hanging off the side of the boat at first, like, just, and was afraid of everyone, but it was out of the water with the sharks.
You sure it was a polar bear, not a seal?
It was a polar bear. It was a big white polar bear.
We'll pull this up later.
And they had it laying. So they had it laying on the deck of their boat, and they were basically, the guy was like almost standing over it, and it was looking up. Its eyes were looking at him, but it just looked exhausted, like it couldn't physically move anymore. But I don't know. I'll find it and show it to you.
All right,
polar bear.
I'm gonna do two more, and then you can do one.
Okay.
Mike says, a real and old species are ape-type thing. Very smart with humans-like traits, they learn from us. Many of them don't mean harm, but they are more curious than anything about us. Yeah, I see a lot of that. We talk about Bigfoot, like all the watching kids stuff, like watching kids on playgrounds and doing that kind of stuff. A lot of times I don't think they're dangerous as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. I think that they enjoy watching us. I think a lot of it may be maternal instinct. We talk about that, you know, gorillas. You know, gorillas are not related to us very closely whatsoever. The 99% like chimp DNA, whatever. You know, that's a lie, right?
No, I didn't know that.
That we're not 99% related to chimp.
Oh.
Only, so when we do an evolution episode, there's, you know, junk DNA. They always threw it out. It's not. There's no such thing as junk DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's integrated DNA. And when you put that into perspective, we are not related to anything very closely.
Oh, okay. So then they just call it junk DNA so we can...
Well, because they didn't know what it did forever. It was very hard.
Oh, okay.
It was very encoded information.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we thought it was holdover stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not. So it wasn't nobody's fault for calling it junk DNA forever.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Just in the science at the time when they were doing it, it was look blank. But basically the font was size one.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Are they going to say wingdings?
You know, the font, like the writing font on the rest of the DNA was like size 12.
Right, you can see it.
This is like size half one.
Yeah, okay, so it seemed very insignificant.
It seemed blank, you know, when you're far enough away, it just looks like there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so yeah, I mean, I agree with Mike. Jim, interdimensional beings, like most cryptids, and I think we talk about this a lot, there's a big difference between the true definition of cryptid and what we're calling cryptids today. And I think a lot of the stuff like the Enfield Horror, Dogman, I think a lot of these weird one-off cryptids, I think much more fall into the interdimensional boogans.
Ooh, the boogans?
Yeah, the boogans.
Now I hear that word thrown around very often.
Not since 1883.
Right, yeah.
But no, like I think there is a group of cryptids or things that probably fall into that category of these interdimensional animals. We talk about the Mothman and our big Mothman saga. Is it just seemed like it was a thing, an animal-like thing, from somewhere else that was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you really look at a lot of the Mothman sightings, it didn't do anything.
No, it didn't hurt nobody.
On purpose.
Right.
Now, the radiation poisoning and stuff like that people experienced, you know, if it didn't know it was radioactive or if it's where it's from is radioactive.
It didn't physically touch nobody, but that way.
It didn't point a laser gun at anybody either. Like, they didn't point a laser gun at anybody or scan somebody.
Well,
a lot of UFO
either,
encounters,
yeah.
You know, they have radiation burns. Like, they scan
you
with something.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you get radiation burns.
Yeah, it didn't do nothing to nobody.
All right, you ready for one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this is, oh, gosh.
You don't have to read the full name of its Insta.
We'll just, yeah, because it's Instagram. Ashy.
Oh.
There's just a lot of letters here, and I'm probably going to say it
Ash.
Wrong. Ash or Ashy, I don't know. Undiscovered species, flesh and blood, no paranormal involved, highly intelligent and comfortable in their environment. There's too much proof, even if only 1% of encounters, footprints, sightings, and sounds were not misidentifications. That's still a large volume of credible and unexplained evidence.
100%.
Which is true. I think we always use the example of there's 3,000 Bigfoot sightings
roughly
a day.
A year.
Roughly. Or, a year. Yeah, a year.
A year. I mean, maybe a day.
Sorry.
I don't know.
A year
reported.
Reported in a year in the U.S., 3,000. If only, what do we say, 1% of those are 10%?
Yeah, I mean, if 90% of them are misidentifications,
yes,
lies, you know, pareidolia, if 90% of them are other things, that still leaves 300 sightings a year.
Which is almost one a day.
Yeah, which is extremely, you know, quote-unquote, extremely credible things.
Year
and that's without taking who the people are. And I'm not saying anybody shouldn't be credible, but a cop talking about a state trooper talking about a Bigfoot he's seen, to me, because there's more to lose, right? It's not that the cop's more credible. Him or her coming out and talking about Bigfoot, there's much more to lose.
Right.
So that's, you know, when you start looking at those things, you know, I think the number goes way up that, you know, of quote unquote, what's credible.
Absolutely. I've got another one here. Backwoods Bigfoot. Simply put, the monkey emoji.
Big ape. A monkey.
Yeah. So that's pretty, yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Simple enough.
Backwoods Bigfoot. I like it. I'll do a couple because I still got a bunch to get through. Chris says, old Indian souls from around the world.
Ooh.
So I've heard this kind of thing. We talked about this with the paranormal, like Bigfoot being, I guess, ghost or spirit protectors or spirit guides, mm-hmm. depending on what native group you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the native Russians look very different than the Russians like that live there now.
Oh, for sure.
The European Russians.
Oh, for sure.
There's not many of them left. They got decimated. We've talked about that, like the Dolov Pass.
Dietlov Pass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the they blamed that it, well, it was one of the groups that got blamed. They're like, oh, we didn't do it. Please don't kill any more of us.
Yeah.
Because they were thought that it was retaliation because the government had killed a bunch of them a couple years before.
That's so bad.
But no, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I feel about ghosts in particular, but old Indian souls from around the world. What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the practices of Native Americans or things like that. I don't know what, like, medicine men and things like that were capable of or what they were able to do, what they knew. So for them to either conjure up something that's out there to protect them or protect the land that's sticking around, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out at all. Or if they had some way to, like almost with astral projecting or, you know, what do you want to call that? Like where your mind is, your remote viewing, things like that. Yeah.
Some people say you have a form when you're doing that.
Right, yeah.
Whether it's shadow people or maybe it's Bigfoot.
Now I'm wondering, yeah, same. That's kind of what I'm getting at, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No,
like,
I mean,
if it's that, maybe it's even them from the past looking into the future. Maybe they're just still here. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I know nothing about Native American
same here.
Religion or folklore or any of it. Always willing to learn. I try, but I can't even read most of the words.
Ojibwe.
Gosh. That's not even the bad ones. The Patreon one the other day was Sue. Really bad.
Sue is pretty bad.
As far as a dyslexic person with learning disability, it's the word Sue, as in the Native American tribe, the English version of the word.
Yeah, like Sioux Falls.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's pretty funny, though.
It's what I call it, socks?
Something like that. And
it looks more like... Anyways. I forgot what I was going to say.
Native Americans, we were talking about this. I was mentioning how they could be like... form like their astral projection.
No, I could even see like Neanderthal ghosts, people saying that. Spirit protectors, spirit guides. Some of the very limited stuff I know is some of the Native American cultures talk about basically, I guess, a Grim Reaper would be the best way to talk about it. Not in a bad way. Like, I don't think the spirit of death is a bad thing. I think that's the person to walk. It's nice to have somebody to walk you to the next side. You don't have to walk alone. Kind of deal. And I think they talk about that a lot too. Maybe this is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the guys that are gals that walk you across to the next side. Okay. Dale says, anymore, I'm really on board with Bigfoot being a metaphysical creature. Ron Moore has several books about the metaphysical Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
Quantum Bigfoot, which is just that what's the difference between science and magic is understanding.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, the book kind of borderlines that, you know, where it's, the magical side of Bigfoot may just be quantum science that we just barely understand.
Right.
Or don't really understand. We know of, like, it's a lot of science. We talk about this a lot with physics, especially. You can see the end result in the beginning. You don't have any idea of the stuff in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So humans make up a lot of, they make something fit and we assume that's right because it fits. And then something happens later, like a little shrimp can pinch its claw and creates a temperature hotter than the surface of the sun. Then we have to rewrite the equation.
Right. To make it fit.
To make it fit. No, so I agree. Antheus, I think is how we say this name. Antheus. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. It's a very fancy looking name. Something that exists on the primeval edge of human perception, defying modern man's strong desire for precise identification and categorization. I 100% agree. That's kind of what we're just talking about. That this is... If Bigfoot may be a creature, a thing, an entity that is just on the edge of humans' ability to perceive.
Yeah.
We talked about this with, we only see, 5% of light.
Right, correct.
So 95% of light is invisible light to humans. When you look at manta shrimp, for example, I have another shrimp here, but you look at manta shrimp and they're seeing 13 or 14% of visible light.
Which is crazy.
So they're seeing almost triple the stuff that we can see.
The colors, basically?
Well, not even color. I guess colors would be a way... That's a human way of describing right. things.
I mean, colors...
Information. You know, things that may only reflect in the ultraviolet. Things that may only reflect in the infrared. That now they get to see those. So we talked about that with some of the sky creatures. That some of them may exist in the infrared spectrum only.
Which we think they do.
Which was why the government stopped using
infrared.
They went to green.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Because the Vietnam soldiers were shooting at stuff in the sky and losing their mind because there was giant flying creatures.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, there was attack helicopters just firing at what people on the ground said was nothing.
Yeah. Which, in same Battle of L.A.
And they were hitting things.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I agree with them. John says, I think that they are a hominid that has managed to survive alongside of us, a bit relatively low numbers, being really great at hiding and surviving remote landscapes. My supporting evidence is the gorillas were believed to be a myth until 1847. Also, relative hominid. I say how Homo sapiens acted. I'd avoid us too. Agree.
I agree with that whole thing. Yes.
If
you're not picking up the theme here, there's a lot of different things that falls under the umbrella of.
But that's why I like doing this. Because I think it's
important.
Everybody
to know.
I agree with, you know, but nobody knows what Bigfoot is. If you meet somebody,
I've got another John here.
Oh, go ahead.
I had a good one.
Same John?
I doubt it, but it's John from Instagram says, I have no idea off the top of my head, but I would say a type of people/apes who aren't from this dimension. Some of them may be capable of learning how to go back and forth between here and there. I think they may be useful vessels for demons or other things as well. Never mind. This sounds too crazy. But no, I think you're onto something. I really do think with the red-eyed Bigfoot.
I think some of them are very demonic.
I agree. And a meat suit. It's a meat suit. That could be a meat suit. A very viable one. A big, strong one, too, at that.
I mean, yeah. Next one, Jason. Oh, sorry. I'll do Jason's real quick. And then I got to go back. I skipped one. Bigfoot is a vanity.
Yeah.
100% right. End of the episode.
Yeah. Did he really say that?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
It's accurate.
Well, wonder where he got that from.
No idea. Some very smart, handsome man. All right. Sean said, I'm honestly starting to lean sort of some highly evolved primate species. You hear about ordinary people intentionally going undetected in the wilderness for years or even decades. An animal raised in that environment would be more adaptive. And people don't get that about, like, big cats, right?
Uh-huh.
Big cats don't want to be found. They're not going to be found. We've talked about the stories many, many times. Oh, what's his name? I just forgot it. The guy, they did a TV show with him for 2 years.
On?
More like Discovery or something like that.
Yeah.
Where he lives out in the Pacific Northwest, like 100%. Like, he lives in holes in the ground.
Okay.
He has a couple buddies in civilization. They trade, like, mushrooms and stuff with for leather.
Isn't this the guy that, like, fixes cars?
He was a mechanic. I told you the story.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a girl broke down in the national forest out there where he lives. And he came out, and he's this giant, like, big white-haired mountain man. Like, yeah. He looks like who you would think the murderer would be in a horror movie. But it ends up not being, because he looks so much like, oh, that's the guy that takes people in the woods.
Right.
But no, he comes up to this, like, 22-year-old young lady, and she's, like, freaking out at first, because her car's broke down. And then she sees the cameras, and she calms down a bit. And he's like, can I help you fix your car? And he fixes it. I can't remember what was wrong with it. Something with the battery. And he got it fixed for him, and they used, like, anyways. He got it fired right up, and he's like, yeah, I was a mechanic for 23 years.
Yeah.
First he was an airplane mechanic, then he was a car mechanic.
Yeah, and then he figured out the way to go is back to nature.
I don't think his way of living is nearly for everybody, because, I mean, you couldn't do it with a family, the way he does.
Yeah.
In particular, because he literally sleeps into dirt holes.
He might have a family tucked away in one of them.
I do not think so.
It keeps him away from people.
But before the camera crew, I think he sees, like, his quote-unquote friends. He has two guys that he trade stuff with. He sees him like twice a year.
Sounds like a nice lifestyle.
And I know I think there was somebody after him there for a while too.
Like government?
Because he's technically doing illegal things because you're not allowed to live.
You're not allowed to exist without being in the system. Taxes. Yeah.
And then also, there was why the show ended was there was tree poachers in the National Forest and something happened to them.
Hmm.
And it may have been him with his buddies, which tree poaching is horrible. I don't know if it's a punishable by death crime.
What are they doing, cutting down, like, important trees or what?
Yeah, like going out in the middle of the national forest to log.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then the show had to end because he said something to the camera And then him and his buddy were like, well, you're not going to follow us tonight. We're going to go talk to these guys.
Gosh.
And then I don't think the guys ever left the forest again.
Hmm. They're still there to this day,
I think they are underneath one of those trees.
Hmm.
No, I don't think you should. I mean, you should be legally logging. I don't know if it's a punishable by death crime.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, when it causes no harm to humans.
Yeah, I mean, or animals even. There is harm to animals and life. Trees need to be protected highly.
Yeah.
Death crimes, I think, are very reserved for very few things.
Right, yeah.
Like death, punishable by death.
Right.
Anyways, this is one of the things. But he lived out there for, I think it was 30 years or something like that. And the only people that knew he was there were the people he allowed to know he was there.
Yeah, exactly.
And he showed like where he slept and his caches and stuff like that. And if he didn't show you, you would never know. He had like hollowed out trees and he had like markers and he was sitting there eating Dungeness crabs. That was the one thing I think he did. It was illegal. Was the way he was crabbing. Because he was doing it during breeding season or something. Like he was doing it out of season.
Oh, okay. But ain't that allowed though to survive? Like, aren't you allowed to catch fish if you're going to eat it?
Technically only Native Americans.
Hmm.
Anyways.
Our laws and rules are so...
I didn't say they were good.
No, they're so messed up. Control, people. They're all about control.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan says, I believe the phenomenon of Bigfoot is a few different things. I believe some of them are demonic, while others are incredibly complex animals / beings. I believe that some creatures are multiple creatures that exist on the edge of human experience because God put them there for his own glory and to keep us humble. I think that may have some abilities that we don't understand. What better way to remind us that we are not gods of this world by putting something on the are here that we, by design, cannot truly ever understand, yet are occasionally bumping into. I tend to lead towards the primate, but it's a primate that is incredibly unique.
Mm-hmm.
I've wondered if perhaps it is quote-unquote metaphysical being, but I've had enough family encounters in my own personal experience to think that it's physical needs in some way like an animal. I used to be hardcore, it's an ape, guy, and a guy. But now I really don't think it's one thing that people see I don't think it's one thing that people are seeing anymore. I agree that I think there are things put in this world purposely like that to, first off, glorify God. We talk about that with Leviathan and Behemoth. That's why Leviathan was made, which I think we have an episode either this season or the beginning of next season scheduled for Leviathan.
Nice. Stay tuned.
Yeah, no, because it's a very unique thing, and the Bible talks about historically, and then there are, you know, right now there's precedents for Leviathan out there.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing, like, I think that's why a lot of these space things exist. Like, why we can see stuff with telescopes, like the Medusa Cascades and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
These, you know, in my opinion, these massive, massive gas clouds or star factories are... It's supposed to make you feel small and special at the same time.
Okay.
I think it's the majesty of God kind of stuff. You know, you can just this tapestry of the universe. It's just this thing. Because it's... We've talked... Maybe we haven't on this show talked about how weird it is, how our galaxy is placed... That we were able to see so much from where we're sitting.
Ain't that just a weird coincidence?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's purposely put there to glorify God. Right. So you can see stuff. So you can see the masterpiece, like the God's Eye Nebula is like above us. There's this giant eye staring at all the Milky Way, but us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he's right on a lot of it. Chris says, I think it's a physical race of people related to humans, but also apart from us. But I don't think they're here all the time. So this is kind of that.
Oh,
walk in the line. Oh, do you have some thought?
You just triggered a thought from that last one. When he says, like Randy, I would harken back to Randy and his experience. He says, you know, they are interdimensional, but when they're here, they are here. Like they're physical, they're flesh and blood, they're here. So they can be, you know, they have needs, physical needs when they're here. But when they're, you know, when they leave, you know, they can physically leave here. So
that's kind of that thought we talked about a long time ago with like a foot in both worlds.
Yeah,
like you are tied. You have to, you have dual citizenship. You have to be tied to both.
Right.
So I mean, you may have to follow rules of both.
It's just illegal in the U.S.
Is it?
For certain people, I guess, in certain places, you can't have dual citizenship with like a. I think if you're a U.S. citizen first, you can't go to another country, gain citizenship there, and come and retain your citizenship in the U.S., like back and forth. But you can go from other countries and do it here.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So the U.S. doesn't recognize dual citizenship, but it doesn't matter if they let you get citizenship here and you're from another country.
Correct.
As long as your other, your home country accepts it.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
You'd be wrong.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Next one. Pamela. I love it. Sorry. I'm not sure. Grew up in the Chestnut Ridge, Western Pennsylvania. We had sightings and it was a normal thing. I came down to Florida and I always wondered if they were here, and turns out many sightings. However, I go with the alien related, honestly. That's what I think. The UFO stuff is all the time is related to sightings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, especially if you came from the Chestnut Ridge, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the home, like we were talking about earlier in the episode, the home of UFO Bigfoot.
Right, exactly.
Now, Mississippi Mike.
Oh, okay.
Hybrid, created by the Fallen Ones.
Ooh,
now, this is like running up Joel stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe even Esau and stuff like that. I know we have some of that coming up with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead?
Well, speaking of Esau, Prometheus Lens commented on.
Oh, yeah, Justin.
Justin from Prometheus Lens commented on. He just said Esau. And if you listen to our episode with Justin.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot about that with Esau, which I don't know. I really don't know where that falls into any of it. I have no idea.
Well, I think it could.
I think it's very credible. I think he's done a lot of research into it. And he's puts the information out there very well for you to to hear it and make your own decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with any of our stuff. You know, we haven't said that in a while, but make your own decisions on this stuff.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know any of it. Like, these sightings, I wasn't there.
Right, exactly. And Travis on Instagram also said Nephilim creations that survived to this day.
Mm.
So very similar to what they had just said on Facebook as well.
Dave says, I think there are multiple things that we classify as Bigfoot. Some are pure flesh and blood. Some maybe have abilities that don't understand yet. While others look very similar and would still be classified as Bigfoot by our quote-unquote definitions, but would be more of dimensional beings, while others are fey, even demonic entities presenting themselves as Bigfoot. 100%, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Go into it heavily because we've already done all of that. But yeah, 100% agree. Colleen says, some are in some way or form related to the Nephilim. Crossbred with those who know what or who know. Some encounters seem like they are flesh and blood, some type. Others definitely have a supernatural vibe to them. And there's footprints that just stop. There's tons of those. I honestly feel many of them use portals or interdimensional. 7 years ago, they were just flesh and blood to me. But thanks to Wes and Tony these past six years, and others, I broadened my viewpoint on a lot of these things. As Wes says, I don't have one in my garage. I love his attitude and humbleness. Hmm. Yeah, and Wes from Sasquatch Chronicles, Tony from The Confessionals, both amazing people. They've been doing this a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like she said, Wes says that all the time. I don't have one in my garage. He doesn't know what Bigfoot is. He's seen several of them.
But you don't know what it is.
And he's had thousands of amazing encounters on his show. And doesn't know what one is. And that's what, like, now you may know what your one Bigfoot, but the whole phenomenon, I don't know. You shouldn't be out there saying that I know what Bigfoot is. You don't have one.
Based off, one thing.
Yeah. Chris says, there may be a highly advanced race of primates who develop in a way of camouflage or disappear using spectrum of light we can't process yet. 100% the cuttlefish theory.
And yes. And this can be just like we said earlier with the ones that can travel interdimensionally. Is it, a learned thing over time? You know, where this might be a learned trait over time, the ability they have that they developed to, camo themselves.
It's a genetic thing.
Right, yeah.
You want me to do a couple more?
I got one from Cryptid Clyde.
Oh, Clyde.
Yeah, Cryptid Clyde. He said, my actual belief, misidentification. But my fun theory is time dimension slips. And they are in control of this. Just that occasionally the universe glitches and we see either Australopithecus from the past or possibly another dimension. That's what I believe with ghosts. They're not dead people from coming back. They're just catching glimpses of their time.
Well, yeah, Clyde on the show. Those are really interesting theories.
Yeah, it's a really good, well thought out.
I mean, we talked about that with our dinosaurs episodes that is an option. Maybe the universe just cracks for a second.
They slip through.
Throw something up.
Mm-hmm.
Or the interdimensional stuff, we talked about that with Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I personally believe it was a human orchestrated accident.
To open the crack?
That maybe we didn't understand. The mist did it, where they said, we thought it was a window and it was a door.
Mm-hmm.
And, now it's the door flung open and that's where all the creatures and the mist were pouring out from the world.
Yeah.
because the government was thought they were had a viewing port. It was a door.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally one of the creatures blasted through, and then the whole it like spit up a big chunk of that world into ours.
Yeah.
And I think that happens. I maybe think so not too. As dramatically as The Mist, like the movie, you know, it was instantly like
overwhelming.
Oh yeah, dinosaur sized creatures and the massive beast towards the end it has a name.
Rancor.
Yeah, Rancor. No, it was the improbable creature, I think is what it was called.
Oh, okay.
Because it was so big that during the movie you could just see the belly of it. It was so tall.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't see the top or the head. You could just see the tentacles and the thousands of little creatures following it like it was a living island,
mm-hmm.
like walking across the land.
Mm-hmm.
So instantly like a whole giant chunk of the environment got spit up into our world.
Yeah.
I think that happens. I think, you know, so Australopithecus or other ancient, I mean, even whatever the Denisovans were.
Right, yeah. You
know, massive humans.
I mean, a whole other rabbit hole, really. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's I don't know if it's on this list yet. I haven't gone through all of them.
There's physical evidence that they found.
Oh, no, I mean, if anybody said the Denisovans, which they may be Bigfoot, who knows?
They could be, yeah. I got one more on Instagram. This would be my last one.
Okay, then I may speed read.
Okay.
I'm getting close to the end.
This is by Psychedelic Bodega.
Okay.
That's a cool name. He said, trick question. They're flesh and blood. Then there's the one that have gotten abducted. No different than people that can do all sorts of weird things like active camouflage, you know, phasing in and out, etc. I mean, if aliens are abducting us, why wouldn't they be interested in a group of upright hominids that don't live in social structures or societal structures like we do and still do just fine? If I was an alien, I'd be very interested in that and be devoting resources to finding out what makes them a successful societal outlier and give them some fancy razzle-dazzle abilities in the name of science. Ha ha ha. Oh, wait, yeah. In the name of science, giving them some little fancy razzle dazzle abilities. Huh.
Now, I'm reading the next one.
I mean, I think this one was well thought out.
No, I 100% agree.
There is, I mean, there's.
Why wouldn't they be? Why
yeah,
wouldn't they
exactly.
be? If aliens are quote, like real, as in what we think they might be.
And Bigfoot are real and they're separate, you know, entity. There are what? No ties together.
I
if they're abducting us or abducting
that's,
cows.
Cat dog.
Huh?
Cat dog did this.
They did what?
So we talked about this a long time ago. It's a long episode. Hope you guys are enjoying it. You wrote it.
Me? Oh yeah, you know, people, listeners.
No. So, Cat Dog when they went to a Cat Dog movie, they went to find their mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
and they end up in Antarctica in a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Dog was made by the aliens. It was a cat and a dog that was abducted and stuck together, but they also had a Bigfoot, a Nessie. And a frog with a human face.
Oh wow!
So they were catching. Well, they were. They were interested in the dominant species, which were the animal people.
Mm-hmm.
But they were also catching cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like the '90s,
right?
You know, it's a '90s cartoon.
'90s, mid 2000s, or early.
And 2000s. Then, the Yeti and the frog adopted the Cat Dog as a kid, and then Cat Dog got stolen again.
Oh, okay.
So they were Cat Dog's mom and dad. They're like, well, we don't have real parents. Well, we are your real parent, you know. And they had all the pictures and stuff. Nessie was the monster that got out and was like circling the UFO.
Okay.
But it just made me think of that. It just brought back a memory that literally they had a Yeti locked up because they were interested in the rare creatures of the planet.
Maybe this is in the subconscious of Psychedelic Bodega's mind.
Randy says, and it's that Randy.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Randy.
It's Randy. I know what they are and I know what they are not. When you meet Randy at the Bigfoot Jamboree, he will say that to you.
Yep, and you will understand what
yeah,
that
fully
means.
Yeah, you gotta listen to it, talk for an hour and a half at least, and then you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he says.
I love it.
Ross says, I'm not sure, but I am sure about a couple things. When I first started listening to the Bigfoot podcast, the phrase that kept going through my head was, they are a reflection of us. Other thing that sticks out to me was when I think Wes quoted someone else saying that if you put a human, or if you put a human... all the monkeys and what we think Sasquatch look like around a campfire, the human would stick out like a sore thumb. Maybe we are the aliens. The weirdest thing that sticks out with me is the idea that Eisenhower made a deal with aliens, or whatever that means at some point, probably interdimensional beings, could take humans to experiment on. They had to return them so they were uncategorized but completely built for survival on Earth without others.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
I mean, that can explain why...
We'll do an episode on the Eisenhower Agreement because that's super weird.
That is very weird. I mean, that would explain some of those things why people... You know, hunters, you say they got one in their scope and they just can't shoot because it looks too much like
a guy. Yeah.
It may have been a guy at one point. Yeah.
Matt says, an ancient elemental. I have no doubt that there are people that really do know, though.
Randy.
Matt. Oh, you mean Randy, yeah.
He's one of the people.
No, so ancient elemental. And I agree with a lot of that. That's some of the Bigfoot. Next one is Christy. Thought forms or interdimensional beings of some sort. That thought form thing, we kind of talked about that before.
Yeah.
The tulpa-esque things, or that the environment, like you're putting so much energy out there to see a Bigfoot that the environment produces one for you.
Yeah.
Or this kind of reflection.
What if your mind energy is so powerful that you're physically...
You're Bigfoot, you're dream Bigfooting.
Yeah. Actually, I just read a thing. Now, this isn't... It's kind of related, but like alcoholics, they said, experience this thing where they don't get real REM, like deep dream sleep.
Oh, yeah. No, you mess up your brain bad.
And they said while you're dreaming, your brain, while you're awake and conscious, decides like, well, if I'm not going to get it while I'm sleeping,
I'll make it happen
now while we're awake. And that happens, that people will hallucinate and be basically dreaming while they're just, and they're, that's why you get alcoholics, you can be delusional and horrible things are happening.
Yeah, when you start going off alcohol after you've been an alcoholic.
Yes.
Because your brain chemistry is all messed up. Your sleep schedule is all messed up. Like, an addiction is a disease.
Yes.
As far as what it does to your body and your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off, you'll see spiders crawling up the walls and stuff like that.
They said it was like your conscious and subconscious, like, basically fighting. Your spiritual side and your physical side, like, just basically battling it out in your mind. I don't know. Just thought of that.
Interesting. It's super interesting. JD says, you rang?
He is Bigfoot. Yeah.
He also says, I believe they are far more advanced nowadays than even 20 years ago.
We got to get JD on the show.
I don't have a big enough chair.
Yeah, you're right. He is a Bigfoot, and JD has...
I guess we did fit Greg in here.
That's true, JD.
But I think we had to throw away the chair after.
Well, we have. It's broken.
Greg's like 9 foot tall.
JD, though, he's seen some things.
He's a trucker, and
like I said,
truckers see things.
Yes, the most main sightings are bulk of the sightings are from.
If you don't believe that, listen to the confessionals and Sasquatch Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you
both truckers.
I bet you the highest percentage. They are both truckers.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about even the encounters that they've had on their shows
from other truckers.
I'll bet you, or at least the earlier confessionals. I bet you 13 to 14% of the episodes are truckers,
mm-hmm.
and on Sasquatch Chronicles, I bet you it's still 5%.
Yeah.
Which is a huge percentage.
With as much stuff they put out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We've had thousands of people.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Patrick says, I think they are flesh and blood creatures who evolved who significantly over the centuries have abilities that we consider quote unquote magical. I think that some people say that they disappear. They're just because they're so amazed at the camouflaging ability they think they're hiding. But the mind speak, cloaking, and using infrasound also may be adaptations they have gained over many, many years and needing to hide from mankind. Other known animals have similar abilities, aside from mind speak. For some reason, I just can't get behind them being interdimensional or an alien race. This is my opinion, of course. Changes every 9 hours.
Yeah.
100%. No, I think you're right. Like a lot of these abilities are in nature already. Maybe not to the same extent as some Sasquatch reportings, but they're there.
Mm-hmm. The mind speak thing always just... confuses me.
I mean, telepathy, mind speak has been around in human cultures forever.
Yeah.
We know we're connected. So that they've done experiments with like talking to plants and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or how we may put out electrical signals that we no longer have the ability to recognize or we haven't learned to recognize, which is thoughts.
Hmm.
So that's how I think like dogs pick up on stuff.
Yeah.
Other animals and you know, even plants pick up on maybe your electrical impulses.
Mm-hmm.
And is that telepathy or is that a natural ability? Well, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
And we just may have either not learned, maybe it's a learned skill for humans, how to understand what you're perceiving.
Or we've been separated from so long.
Or you've calcified your pineal gland.
Yep. I've done that, drinking too much fluoridated water.
Shelby says, honestly, I believe Bigfoot is a broke off from homeless, from forest homeless or nomad communities. Humans at the start, but removed from society so far that they've become feral and develop animalistic qualities. And we've talked about, we have to do episodes on feral people because there's giant homeless camps in national forests.
Yes.
I've met many of them. A lot of them, you know, just had guys, one really bad day. Like a lot of these guys and gals had one really bad day. And, you know, they've been homeless for 20 years.
Right, yeah. Or they got sick.
Or they got sick. Or, you know, they had a mental disease and their family didn't want to deal with them.
Or the hospital just, you know, emptied their bank account.
Well, no, the family dumps them at a hospital or a care facility, never checks in them again.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I can't tell you how many of them that happened to them that I knew of.
Yeah.
That, you know, you get dumped.
Sad.
And I could see after, especially, I think a lot of it happened during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That these tiny, tiny communities that were already surviving off of nothing.
On the brink.
And then, you know, the Great Depression happens and just kills the community. Mm-hmm. So you go out in the woods and you stop coming home. You may have the debt collectors and, all, you know, all this stuff. You just live out in the national parks. And how many, you know, 4, 5, 6 generations, you may not look like you did.
No. You get big, strong, grow some hair.
There you go.
I think that used to be like before doing all this, that was probably my main kind of thought.
I've talked about Skunk on here before.
Oh, yeah.
The homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
That he was this giant hairy guy that would walk up through the Hocking River.
Mm-hmm.
And I 100% know for a fact that some reported Bigfoot sightings were him.
Him, yeah.
Because he walked by the bridge by the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just were on the highway and you looked over.
Real fast.
There's a massive hairy thing standing in the middle of the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Bigfoot.
I mean, he looked like a Bigfoot and I talked to him.
Right, yeah.
Like, I could see it. I mean, I really could. Lynn says, interdimensional beings. I could see that. Patrick says, a chimera cross from the time of Watchers. Perhaps angelic and ape crosses. Mm. So this is, more of the hybrids.
Mixing the DNA, yeah. Yes. What is that? Hybridizing animals is a, I don't know. It's a sin.
Huh?
So it's a sin.
If you force it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes animals just do it.
Well, yeah, but they're usually not viable.
Dana, a.k.a. Dan. That famous Dan.
Okay.
He says, we don't know. Our documentation is very fragmented. We haven't learned to improve that yet. It appears that it's a target species complex. It may take decades to confirm since verification is extremely difficult.
It's 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, let's say it's an interdimensional thing, we're not going to ID it. We're not going to put that on what's that? The biosphere, the
family tree,
tree, whatever you call it. What is biosphere? I think right. We got the shadow biosphere, right? And then our
the bio, yeah,
yeah. It's not part of our biosphere. We're not gonna be able to put it on the list.
I'm not gonna read this next one because I don't know what it means, and I think it may be not something I should read on a family-friendly show.
Okay, fair enough. We'll save it for Patreon.
Yeah, I know what one of the words means, and I think the other ones aren't good.
Let's just save it for Patreon.
If
you want to hear this comment, either join our Facebook page or
Patreon.
Or listen to Patreon.
Brian says an interdimensional being is a part of the fallen ones. Again, you know, that same thing. I 100% could see it. I don't know about that personally as far as what I believe. I think it is as viable as any other option that's been given.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike from the Strange Roads podcast.
Oh, Mikey.
Mikey. After watching Alaskan Killer Bigfoot, I think it's beyond a physical material animal. I just don't know exactly if it's interdimensional or spiritual in nature. Maybe they vary from region to region. Still baffling. Yeah, if you haven't watched Alaskan Killer Bigfoot, the show's kind of goofy. The story behind the Portlock incident is real.
Terrifying.
And terrifying. Probably the single scariest Bigfoot encounter ever, if that thing was even a Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that.
I think it was a Bigfoot. I think they shot a kid. I think they shot a baby Bigfoot, and I think they lied about it, and then I think the Bigfoot family murdered them all.
Jeez. Yeah, that's scary.
I really do. I really think that's what happened.
Portlock, Alaska.
When body parts start floating down that little river, and the heads are squished.
Yeah, not good. Just go to if you want to listen to that episode, just search Portlock.
Search Portlock. I don't know. It's probably season one.
In our episodes, yeah.
Season two.
It's a pretty good one.
Honestly, says Brian, and this is Brian Wolf from wolfrockradio.com.
Honestly, who throws a shoe?
I believe Bigfoot is what we would be without the bump in genetics. Somehow we, Homo sapiens, received a bump in our genetics, but be it by divine intervention, extraterrestrial influence, whatever beliefs may be, we still had a massive jump in evolution in a short period of time. So I feel that they are evolving at a standard pace while they're living among us.
Yeah, but they got it right. They figured it out.
Well, that's what he's talking about. He's saying that they didn't get the bump. We got the bump.
Right. Well, I'm saying they...
So they messed with us, not them.
Right. I understand that, okay. Yeah. I guess that would make sense then. Because they messed with us to put us in a box and control us and have government control all of our lives and everything we do and everything you're allowed to do. All your potential is being controlled by them.
My last one is Lei Donna. I think they are a natural undiscovered species in the animal kingdom. I think they have various cultures and personalities, some tending more towards the violent than others. I also think they are targeted by malevolent spirits that can inhabit and control them and carry out malicious or supernatural deeds.
Mm.
You know, that mix between animals and flesh puppets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
This has all been thought-provoking. I like the wide range, too.
That's why I wanted to do it. I was also...
It's good to see that.
I'm finally feeling a little better, but I was just feeling a little lazy this week. So, it's been hard for me to... I don't know. I've just been sick.
Yeah, lungworms.
I could find it. I would take it.
Yeah.
Things
to get rid of it?
Yeah.
Ivermectin.
I just can't find it.
Right, you can't anymore. They made it impossible.
Without the additives... that I'm allergic to.
Right. Well, they make it impossible because, you know, it's cheap and it's effective.
It's a human drug.
And it's a human-made drug.
Go listen to DW Conspiracy Shack.
It was a
Nobel Prize-winning.
Prize-winning drug for...
mammals.
Mammals. For humans, specifically.
Or humans. Or mammals. Anyways. No, I really liked the wide variety. I don't think we really missed anything. The Fae was up there a couple times. I'm trying to think. Did we leave out any big things?
Big options? I think they pretty well covered every stone or unturned, overturned, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I think they did a really good job at least encapsulating the scope of what Bigfoot is. Because the scope is wide. The range is wide. The spectrum is huge. It's a big Bigfoot spectrum.
No, it is. I mean, it really is. I don't. I'm trying to think. I feel like we were going to talk about one, whether it's the hybrid creations from the fallen, Esau.
Those are probably the ones we didn't get into the most.
Yeah, but like I said, listen back to Justin's Prometheus Lenses, relatively recent episode.
Very well put together.
Yeah, better than I would ever do with that subject.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't know how I feel personally about it. I think he's presented it very well.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of what else, like with the big phenomenon. I guess. We'll end it with this. We're at an hour and a half. We'll end it with this. We've been doing this a while. We've been speakers. We've been blessed to be speakers at many events, including the biggest Bigfoot festival in the world.
How Bigfoot Jamboree? I mean,
the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Jamboree, yes. Which we have stuff to announce with that in a couple weeks.
Bigfoot Festival.
The Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival.
There we go.
Which B Mills puts on, another amazing researcher and amazing lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we have potential stuff to announce with that one coming up in a couple months. But no, we've been doing this a while. We've talked we've hung out with pretty much all the big names in Bigfoot. We've talked in depth with these guys and gals amazingly. What do you think? We've been doing this for years now. If we count the Hardin County Bigfoot Society and the podcast, this is what you're working on year five. We've done year four.
We've done year four?
Yeah. If we count the Hardin County Bigfoot Society.
I guess you're right.
We're working on year five.
Time flies when you're
talking about Bigfoot. What do you think? Where do you put it now? What's your thoughts?
I think I'm definitely in the interdimensional camp, 100% into that. But I also think, I just think there is still a flesh and blood version, whatever it is out there. I think there is. But I do think it's the interdimensional thing is a huge part of it. I think they are not from here. Like they claim, or people claim that they claim. But to put my finger exactly on it, I think it's an interdimensional being that has the ability to travel back and forth from wherever it's from to here. I think it likes being here because I think this place is special. And I think that's an indicator that how special this place, Earth, is, that even Bigfoot loved to travel here and spend their time here. And maybe we should appreciate that.
I think I'm going, I think I'm still going with it's probably three or four things that it's fallen in. I think there is an animal Bigfoot. I think there's a fae or an elemental Bigfoot. I think there's whatever aliens are. I think there's a big connection with them. Mm-hmm. Whether it's one of the other common ones that in the aliens are dealing with them or if it's a whole different thing. I think Bigfoot is an umbrella term that even other entities that aren't Bigfoot adjacent at all, or maybe even get lumped into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many Dogman encounters are a Bigfoot that, you know, that they said it was a Bigfoot just because they seen the back of it?
Right, yeah.
You know, you don't see the head of a Dogman. It really doesn't look much different than a Bigfoot.
I would think Bigfoot before I think Dogman, if I didn't see the head.
Right, if it's turned away from you and it's not on its haunches or whatever,
yeah,
and it's just standing there, it's just a big hairy thing, right? It's just right. A big hairy
standing
thing.
Standing on 2 feet?
Yeah. My opinion has changed dramatically. I mean, the flesh and blood thing, I do think there is a Bigfoot that is a flesh and blood thing. But I think it's an umbrella thing. I really think there's four or five, I don't know, things that are Bigfoot. Then that's why the Bigfoot community has so much trouble as a whole kind of get behind a goal, because the group that thinks it's a supernatural, like an elemental, well, if you go out there with cameras and you go out there with hair traps, well, you're not going to get nothing. You know, that,
right.
They think that's dumb. Because they believe it's an elemental. So the flesh and blood guys are dumb to them because you're wasting time and resources trying to capture something one way. And vice versa, you mm-hmm. know, and it's the across the whole board. And I think I think there are plenty of big members in the community that are fine with saying, we don't know. I mean, I've heard Bea talk about, and she did it at our festival last year, talked about, you know, she's very flesh and blood talking about the science behind the Sasquatch and doing all of her stuff. But she's like, I see orbs, you know, I see orbs. And I don't know how to put that.
Yeah.
She's like, they're there. You know, they're with the Bigfoot stuff.
But how does it fit?
Yeah. And I think Tom Shea is another great one example of that. Ron Moorhead with all the weird stuff with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
There are plenty of names that I think, you know, that are quote unquote flesh and blood researchers. They're like, yeah, there's a paranormal side of Sasquatch. We don't know what it is. But their weird stuff happens
right
when you're around a Sasquatch.
And we've seen it.
Which is really refreshing. I think a lot more of the community kind of gets behind that statement and they're fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that one I really believe is a flesh and blood Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But it does not turn away from anybody else's
right.
Bigfoot encounter.
No, not at all.
If you've seen a Bigfoot turn into a tree or, you know, turn into a centipede and crawl up a wall, I believe you. Like, it just wasn't my experience.
Mm-hmm.
My experience, the Bigfoot I experienced, ate food and was scared of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those very flesh and blood wants
traits.
And fears.
Yeah.
You know, but there are other ones where, you know, people say they shoot Bigfoot point blank and it just looks at him like it doesn't care. I tell you, the Bigfoot we had was very scared of a shotgun. So I don't know. I really think it's a bunch of things.
Yeah. And I agree 100%.
All right. I have been The Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been JClone88.
And thank you guys for writing this episode for us.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.